It's been a while since we've done this within the worship service, but this morning I just feel led to invite you to stand and say hi to one another and extend God's peace to one another. Let's take a few moments to pass the peace and welcome one another. It's probably been at least a year and maybe 2 years since we've greeted one another in worship. For some of you that missed that, it's 2 years worth of like energy that as soon as the words came out of my mouth, it was like a kid in kindergarten, like, yeah! I'd like to invite you to bow your heads and join me in prayer. Father God, you are so good. And we thank you that you invite us into a unique way of experiencing your presence as you gather us together as family, as brothers and sisters in Christ, and as a part of your kingdom. And as you've gathered us, Lord, we know that there are things that you desire to do in our hearts, both individually and collectively. And so, Holy Spirit, we ask that you help to soften those hearts. Open our minds to that which you would want us to hear this morning and to consider. And then open our lives to the ways that you would like to lead us into our ongoing transformation into all that you've created and called us to be. Jesus, we thank you that you're not just living, but you are the living Word who continues to speak to us and be present among us through the ministry of the Spirit. And so we ask now that you speak to our hearts. Holy Spirit, transform my own heart, my own mind, my own words, so that I speak only that which is inspired by you. Pour out your blessings, we ask in Jesus' strong name. Amen. This morning, our scripture reading comes from Ephesians chapter 4. I'll be reading verses 1 through 16. I, therefore, the prisoner in the Lord, beg you to lead a life worthy of the calling to which you have been called, with all humility and gentleness, with patience, bearing with one another in love, making every effort to maintain the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. There is one body and one Spirit, just as you were called to the one hope of your calling, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is above all and through all and in all. But each of us was given grace according to the measure of Christ's gift. Therefore, it is said, when he ascended on high, he made captivity itself a captive. He gave gifts to his people. And when it says he ascended, what does it mean but that he also descended into the lower parts of the earth? He who descended is the same one who ascended far above all the heavens, so that he might fill all things. The gifts he gave were that some would be apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, some pastors and teachers, to equip the saints for the work of ministry, for the building up of the body of Christ, until all of us come to the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, to maturity, to the measure of the full stature of Christ. We must no longer be children, tossed to and fro and blown about by every wind of doctrine, by people's trickery, by their craftiness and deceitful scheming. But speaking the truth in love, we must grow up in every way into him who is the head, into Christ, from whom the whole body, joined and knit together by every ligament with which it is equipped, as each part is working properly, promotes the body's growth in building itself up in love. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Well, I mentioned last week, November is often a month where, in quite a few churches actually, you hear a lot of sermons on stewardship and giving and the state of the church in those regards. And so this month, I really just felt led to spend time focusing on stewarding our vision and mission and considering the question of who we are called to be as a church in this day and age, in this culture, and in this context, in the city of Ashland. And I'm going to do that by sharing four words with you that I really think are going to define us as a body of believers. And those four words are, well, the first one was last week. Who remembers? Because I don't. Anyone? This is a good illustration for a lot of things. Encounter is the first word. Encounter God. This week we're going to talk about equip. Next week we'll be talking about encouragement. And then finally, engagement. Encounter, equip, encourage, engage. And so this week we're going to talk about our mission to equip. And I want to begin by talking about the idea of having a church growth plan. Now, when I came here a little over 8 years ago now, I had all kinds of ideas in my mind about how we were going to rebuild and grow the church. And some of those ideas we tried early on, and then when those didn't seem to be working or didn't feel quite right, we would try something else. And I even wondered yesterday morning, I said, how many books do I have on my shelf that I've read related to this topic? And just a quick glance this morning was well over a dozen. Books that I've read, many of which I've read just since being here, of different plans, different pastors' ideas, different congregation successes of how we can grow the church. And that really shapes, in some ways, how I view myself as a pastor or a leader, to come and provide some sense of vision and mission and direction for the church, to try to develop programs or hire the right staff, to figure out how we can market and tell our story, all of these things that I try to consider to help give us a vision for how we can move forward with the ultimate hope of growing the church. Now, I'll tell you that all of these things can and are important. Can be and are important. And they're worthy of conversations and consideration. But I would say that they're only important and they're only relevant if we are developing or growing the faith of our congregation, both individually and collectively. Paul begins in this section of Ephesians with chapter 4, verse 1, saying, I therefore, a prisoner in the Lord, beg you, pleading to the people in the church of Philippi, but all believers who come into faith in Christ, pleading with them to lead a life worthy of the calling to which you have been called. And that word you is plural. We might say today, you all. I beg you all to lead a life worthy of the calling to which you all have been called. You see, Paul doesn't have individuals in mind. He has in mind all of us collectively as the church. And he talks about how we can go about doing that, and those are important verses, but I really want to move into verse 11 and 12 in terms of the focus this morning and then beyond. In verse 11, it picks up again. It says, the gifts that he gave, speaking of Jesus himself, were that some would be apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, some pastors and teachers. In other words, there would be some leaders that Christ would raise up among all believers to fulfill particular task of leadership. And it even says in this passage that those leaders are gifts to the church, Christ's gift to the church. But then it talks about the role of those leaders. And it says that the role, the purpose of these gifts, of gifting the church with these leaders, is to equip. To equip. Now, I like to do word studies of the original language. And it's not that I know the original language well. In fact, it's probably because I don't. But I can tell you that with a lot of the, for example, Greek words in this context, that those words in the original language are used with a lot of different tenses and a lot of different contexts to carry a lot of different meanings. And then when we translate them into English, a lot of times we lose some of the nuances of those words. And so when you do a word study, what you can do is you can go and you can look at all the different places that the root Greek word being used here is used in other places in Scripture. And as you do that, I believe you get a more full understanding of all the meaning behind a word like equip. Now, in my mind, what I would like to say to you is to equip you would mean to help you become the best version of yourself. To help you become the best version of yourself. In other words, to help the true self that God has planted within you from the time that you were knit together and formed in your mother's womb. To help that part of you grow and be nourished and to flourish. And I believe that this word equip carries a lot of those nuances. In some places it's used to actually talk about demolishing or tearing down something. And I believe that it's true that there are aspects of our lives at times that need to be demolished and torn down. That the Spirit needs to come in and break down so that other parts, the more true parts of who we are, can be built up. But you see, this word also has some medical use in Scripture, where it talks about restoring or mending, bringing healing into something that's broken. And isn't that interesting? That a part of equipping someone is actually to bring healing into that which is broken, so that in a more whole way, they can then move forward in their life. It can mean to bring a condition of fitness to a person, of good health, to make ready, or to make adequate a person for service. And then I like this phrase that I came across. It's, equipping is the process of adjustment that results in complete preparedness. A process of adjustment that results in complete preparedness. That all of us as believers have parts of us or areas of our lives that need some adjusting, some tweaking, some mending, some healing, some equipping, so that we can be prepared. And who is this equipping to occur with? The saints. Now, that doesn't mean the saints that have moved on before us. They're already in perfect glory. It means those of us who are saints, who are a part of the body of Christ here and now today. Each of you, the people of God, Jesus raises up leaders to equip you, to equip us. Now, in thinking about this, I probably use sports as an analogy way too often, but I was thinking about the role of a coach, and I know several of you coach, and I spent quite a few years coaching in another context, and I think for a lot of coaches, the goal of coaching isn't necessarily to win games. That's just a byproduct, hopefully. But it's to raise up players, to help equip them, to help them become more whole as individuals in life, to help them become the best that they can be. And I think that the best of coaches can do that in a way that they also create a system or a culture. And you see that in some of the programs. You hear them talk about what it means to be a part of this program, the culture that we're creating here. And I think that Paul is speaking to us about equipping saints with an idea that there is a particular culture that we are a part of. As Christians, as followers of Jesus Christ, we are invited into and take on the mission of inviting others into the kingdom of God. An understanding and an idea that God reigns over all things, and that the reign of God is coming to earth as it is in heaven. That there will be a day when God reigns fully and we will experience the presence of the kingdom in all of its fullness here on earth. And that's the culture in which we are equipping the saints, carrying out the values, living into the values of the kingdom. Jesus' life modeled that lifestyle for us. And so to equip the saints is to understand that there is a particular culture in which we are called to live. That speaks to the way we will go about doing things. Or as Paul now turns to, the way we will do ministry. Because Jesus has raised up leaders and gifted them to the church to equip the saints for ministry. Now, too many times in our culture today, when we hear ministry, we think of vocational, professional pastors or leaders or youth workers or whatever that may be. But in this context, this ministry is much more broad than that. This ministry is speaking to any way that you live your life as a follower of Jesus Christ. And I believe it's connected to verse 1, to live out the calling to which you have been called. Now, you will hear me use the phrase a lot, that we are created and called, because I believe those two things are held together. You see, I believe that when each of us created, the Spirit of God was hovering among us and within us. Scripture says that God knit each of us together in our mother's womb. Now, that can be a nice little thing that we say that sounds nice, but it could also be a truth of Scripture that says that God had an intricate part in designing you to be the person that God created you to be. Now consider that possibility with me for just a moment. That your very DNA, the personality traits that you were created with, the passions of your heart and your mind, the gifts that you've been given, the talents that you just kind of naturally have, that all of these things perhaps were given to you by God as God knit you together, created you, put together you with a particular you in mind, had a vision of who you were to be. And with that vision in mind and the beauty of who you are, put you together, knit you together, so that you could fulfill your particular purpose in this life. God's created you and then called you into a relationship with Jesus Christ so that all of that could be restored, even in the midst of the sin and the brokenness of the world that kind of hides that person, that makes you question who that is, that makes it hard and confusing to kind of figure out who, Lord, you've created me to be, that through a relationship with Jesus Christ and the ongoing ministry of the Holy Spirit in our lives, God begins to restore that person, that you. So that in any arena in this life, you can go and you can live. And you can do what you love to do with the gifts you've been given to do. But you can do it in a way, in this culture of the kingdom of God, that it becomes a ministry. As you live for the Lord and for others. And so this commending to us to equip the saints for ministry does speak to how we as leaders are to live that out, but it also raises some particular questions like, do you as the people of God desire to be equipped for ministry? Do you have a desire to fulfill that unique purpose that God's given you, to live your life in such a way that it is a service to God and to others, that you can love God and others in all that you do, wherever you go? But here's where Paul's taking this in this passage. What he's now going to say is that as you do that, It has an incredible impact for all of us. That when each of us lives into and out of our true self, it actually builds up the church. The equipping of each individual influences the whole. It builds up the body of Christ. And I would say that's true in our local congregation. I would also say that as all of us as Christians live into this, it builds up the city of Ashland, our community around us. And eventually you can take that all the way out to how God's kingdom is spreading throughout all of the world as the saints are equipped for ministry. And each of us goes and lives that out in our day-to-day lives. And then this passage says, Until all of us were meant to do this together. You cannot read this passage and have any sense that the Christian faith is meant to be about me and Jesus. It's meant to be about Jesus working in your life and bringing you into a community of faith, bringing us into the people of God so that all of us grow together, not one of us. You see, equipping is not about looking out and saying, oh, you know, this person over here and that person over there, they could probably do some great things. Let's invest in that one or two for ministry. No, the vision here being laid out to us is that Jesus gave gifts to the church so that all of us would be equipped. That all of us have a calling. All of us have a purpose. And that all of us, as we live into that, builds up the body and moves us into, first, the unity of faith. A oneness in our belief and faith in Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. I believe a unity in the faith of the kingdom of God. A unity of faith in the church or the church as the people of God. And even a unity of the faith that we have in one another. Paul then says that all of us are to come into the knowledge of the Son of God. Please remember that when we come across knowledge in Scripture, it's not just talking head knowledge, it's talking experiential knowledge. A relationship, an intimacy with the Son of God. This goes back to what we talked about last week, that we all have opportunities to encounter the living God. And I would go on to say that we encounter the living God in special ways when we come together as the community of faith, because the image of God that dwells in each of us reveals more fully who God truly is when we gather together as the community of saints. And so we move into the unity of faith, into the knowledge of the Son of God, and into maturity. And my definition of maturity is a movement toward wholeness. What it does not mean is that when you're perfect, then you can go and serve God. What it does mean is that we, through our relationship with Christ, are journeying into a more whole place. And we can see that movement in one another. And as each of us is a part of that movement, it moves the whole body. And I got to tell you that I'm proud of how this congregation has moved in those directions. I was having a conversation with someone who kind of lives in Ashland part-time now, and we were just sharing experiences about the church, and they were asking me a lot of questions about this congregation. And I believe that I could honestly tell them that there was spiritual growth happening here among this congregation, among each of you, that there is a movement toward wholeness. But that's not just individually, because you see, that makes our whole congregation move towards maturity. And then he speaks to this measure of the full stature of Christ, that we're to move together into a measure, a standard of the full stature of Christ. And I just believe Paul's reiterating that all of us are called to become all that is already true of us in Jesus Christ. And so when you step back and you look at these passages so far, you see that all of us have a calling, and Paul's pleading that we'll live that out in our lives. And then Jesus says, to help you live that out, I'm going to gift you some leaders that are going to come to equip you. And through that equipping process, the true self that I knit together in your mother's womb, the vision of who you truly are that I have for you is going to come into fruition. The best of who you are will begin to come out so that you can grow up, you can mature into all that you already are and were created to be in Jesus Christ. And as we do that individually, it takes on a collective nature. And we all begin to grow up in the faith. And why is this important? Because again, Paul says we, verse 14, we got to move out of childhood. We can't continue to be like children who jump back and forth through all of these teachings and all the trickery of the world. You see, the world will offer us 100 or 1,000 or 1,000,000 different options in ways that we might be able to live this life. Try this, try that, believe this, believe that. Put on whatever feels good now, whatever makes you happy. This pursuit of happiness can come to you in thousands of different ways. And as children, we get caught up in that. I had to laugh at myself and confess that there was a childlike part of me as a pastor, especially early on, that just wanted to find the right book that I could read and apply to this church that would put us on a completely different trajectory. And then a couple years ago, I stopped reading them. I won't do it. And maybe there will be a time when I do again. But if you put a church growth book on my table right now, it's going in the trash can. Because they don't speak to our context, they don't speak to our community, and because the biblical model is put right here in front of us. And so if you want to ask me about a church growth strategy today, what I'd say to you is we need to live out Ephesians 4, or Philippians 4. Ephesians 4 is good too. Ephesians 4. Philippians 4 is good too. I'll summarize that for you. Just stop fighting, get along, and pursue unity in the faith. The biblical growth strategy is that as leaders, we would invest our time in equipping the saints. It's not about how we can attract people. It's not about what we can change that will bring in others. It's about recommitting ourselves to the scriptural teachings. Recommitting ourselves to having an awareness and an openness and a discernment of the movement of God around us. You see, as you read through the Bible, when God did extraordinary things, it was because individuals were faithful, and that faithfulness then impacted the community, and then as the community lived out that faithfulness, the Spirit just came. And people then naturally responded. Sure, the disciples and the followers of Christ, they went out and they preached the good news. But I believe the model you see as you move farther and farther away from the early church and Pentecost is that the Christians were living according to the kingdom and not the world. And when people noticed there was a difference in the life, they came and they asked them why. So Peter says, prepare to give a response when people see the hope that you have. What a day it would be if people in the community started walking up to each of us, say, you know, I'm noticing something different about you and your life. The decisions you're making, the choices you've made, the way you've loved, the peace that you carry in the midst of this overly anxious time. the hope you have, even in the suffering, even in the hard times. I've noticed that. Tell me more. Or that day when people in the city of Ashland will say, First Presbyterian Church, oh yeah, I know that church. And the next word out of their mouth won't be, that has the most beautiful Gothic cathedral. Which is true. No, the first word out of their mouth is, those folks there are some of the most loving people that are a part of the city of Ashland. The hope that they carry, the peace that's so evident in their lives, the way they care for those of us in this community. What a testimony. Our call is to equip the saints so that we can just naturally live that way in the community around us. Now, next week we'll talk about encouraging each other in those ways. But think about just these first two stages, encountering the living God, developing this personal relationship with Jesus Christ that believes that God is always present among us. And as we raise our awareness of that, we can encounter the living God in our day-to-day lives in meaningful ways that shape and transform our life. And then as we encounter that living God, it draws us in so that we can then be equipped. That best version of yourself can be made alive. And we can grow into that person that God has already created and called you to be and already made true of you in Jesus Christ. All of the other things I have to continue to believe will be a natural outcome. When we're faithful to Christ and faithful to the calling and pursue with our lives all that we've been called and created to be in Him. I want to invite you into a time of prayer. I just encourage you to begin to reflect on some of the things you heard. And I guess the way I would set this up is that if there's a particular area or phrase just over these last few moments that you've heard that began to give you some energy or caused you to kind of turn your head, that's an interesting thought. I just want to invite you to sit with that for a few moments and ask the Lord, Lord, what do you have in that for me? What do you have in that for me? Let's go to the Lord in a time of prayer and reflection. I think for many of us, it's easy to look around and to see others and to see their gifts, to see their beauty, to see those things in them that perhaps they may not even see in themselves. And yet, when we look in the mirror, it becomes so much more difficult to see those very things, that same beauty residing within us. That the brokenness of the world has kind of put layers and layers upon that true person that we are in Christ. And all the beauty that resides there, and to a place where that's so hidden that it's even hidden from our eyes. And it's hard for us to believe that we truly could be called, loved by God in such a way that God would desire to have us represent Him to all the world around us. And so I wonder if you'll just take a moment to follow this kind of guided prayer with me. And we ask, Holy Spirit, that you'd raise our awareness of your presence, that you'd sanctify our thoughts and our minds, perhaps even our imaginations. And I would ask that you would allow each of us to just receive a glimpse, a picture, an image of who you see, Jesus, when you look at us. Lord, when you see us clothed in the righteousness of Christ, when you see us wearing that robe, when you see your glory within us and that image restored, when you see that beauty, that glory, that wonder, could you give us a picture of what we look like to you? Holy Spirit, I know that you're moving us to become that person. And so I ask that you'll give each of us the trust to surrender ourselves to your work. The faith that you who began this good work in us will carry it out into completion. That you'll give us the patience to allow this work. And above all things, Lord, that you will give us the confidence that you love us enough. You love us enough to bring out the beauty that you've placed within us. The beauty that you already see. The beauty that you want us to take into the world. And Lord, I pray for our congregation. I do pray that we will become a people that encounters you in a meaningful way and also equips one another to move into all that you've created us to be, Lord. And Lord, we thank you. We thank you for who you are. We thank you for all you've called us to be. We thank you for the way that you've even met us here today. And in Christ's strong name, I ask that you just seal that. Seal that work within our hearts and minds. And we ask this in your strong name. Amen.